If you see a little of Christ's glory, you'll be a little like him. If you see more of Christ's glory, you're going to become more like him. And when you see the fullness of Christ's glory, you will become fully like him.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, today we're in John 17, really focusing in on verse 24, which says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory.
What a marvelous promise that is. And you know, Steve, I think that's the greatest assurance that a Christian can possibly have, that Jesus says, I want them to be with me. So it is his will, it is his desire that all who are given to him by the Father will be with him and that we will see his glory. The reason that we're going to be in heaven, Steve, is that Jesus Christ wants us there, and he gets what he wants.
Absolutely.
He gets what he wants because he's the sovereign Son of God, and our confidence and our assurance rests in that promise and in that will of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, already, if you're just tuning in, I think you're encouraged, and we're going to drill down on this concept even more as we open our Bibles to John 17 and continue the message, Jesus will show you his glory. Here is Pastor Colin.
Probably the greatest writing that has ever been penned outside of the Bible on this subject of the glory of Christ was by a man called John Owen. You may have heard that name. We quote John Owen from time to time, one of the great Puritan writers. And Owen's work, The Glory of Christ, here's a copy. It's still in print. It was published in 1696, still in print. That's the quality of it. It was published very soon after Owen's death. And there's a fascinating little story that as Owen was lying dying, his publisher, a guy by the name of Mr. Payne, came to visit him as he was lying there in his last days in his own bedroom. And Payne comes in and he says to Owen, Dr. Owen, I want you to know that I have been putting your book on the glory of Christ to the press. Trying to cheer him up. Here's a nice thing for you to know. Your book on the glory of Christ just about to be published. And Owen said, I am glad to hear it, but oh, Brother Payne, the long-looked-for day has come at last in which I shall see that glory in another manner than I have ever done yet or was capable of doing in this world. My friend, one day, you will see and know and grasp more of the glory of Christ than I or any other pastor, teacher, or theologian could teach you in your lifetime in this world. You will see it. You will grasp it. You'll say, oh, it's so much more than he ever began to explain. And I'll be right there saying the same with you. Christ wants you to be with him. Christ wants you to see his glory, and because he prays for it, Christian believer, you will. You'll see it with your eyes, you'll grasp it, and it will be your everlasting joy. Now, this is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely vast in its scope. Let me give to you in the time that remains here five ways in which you can use this truth. We've been talking about magnificent, glorious truth. How are you going to use it? How are you going to apply what the Lord Jesus Christ prays for us and what therefore is yours in him? Let me suggest to you first, use this truth to release loved ones who are already with Jesus Christ. On any given weekend, there are among us some who are right in the middle of grieving the loss of a loved one. You are working your way, perhaps even now, through the sorrow of an irreplaceable loss. Someone you love has been taken from you. And if the one that you love is a Christian, I want to encourage you today, use this truth to help you in your sorrow. Remind yourself often, they are with Christ. He's with Christ. She's with Christ. And one day, if you're a believer, say to yourself, I will be there too. He, she can't come back to me, but I can go to be with her and him in God's time, and there is only a short interval between their going and your arriving. So use this truth to release those who are already with Christ. You can't meditate on it too much in times of sorrow and loss. Second, use this truth to anticipate your own future happiness. See, here's the marvelous thing for us. Jesus says, I want those you have given me to see my glory, to see my glory. And when you see Christ's glory, you will not only be an observer of it. Because those who see Christ's glory, those who are in Christ, and those who have the Spirit of Christ in them, come to have a reflection of that glory that is seen in us. As someone has put it, not only will you be in Christ's glory, but Christ's glory will be reflected in you. Third, use this truth to deepen your love for other believers. See, when Jesus says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, he's praying for us, but not only individually, he's praying for the whole church. He's praying for the whole company of God's redeemed people. I want the whole church, I want everyone who has ever put their trust in me to be gathered in our presence, Father, and to see my glory. That's the prayer of Christ. And so when John sees at the end of the Bible the vision in the book of Revelation of what it is like, you remember, he sees a vast multitude of people. So great, he says, that no one could number this crowd. Christ is not only praying for you, he's praying for us. And in verse 21, if you look back there for a moment, he says this. He's praying that all of them, that's us who believe in him, may be one. In other words, he wants us to be one on earth as we will be one in heaven. And it is Christ who draws us together in heaven. It is Christ, therefore, who draws us together on the earth. That is why, by the way, always remember this. The unity of the body of Christ can never be around a personality, and it can never be around a program. Actually, it's extremely difficult even to accomplish the unity of the body of Christ around a task, because as soon as you're focusing on the work, there are all kinds of different ways in which you can do the task. No, the unity of Christian believers lies in Jesus Christ alone. And that is why keeping Christ at the center of the church is essential to the unity of brothers and sisters in him. It's a wonderful truth, this, that the church of God will be brought together, that every believer will be brought into the presence of Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus, why would you not come with us? Why would you not put your trust in this Jesus that we're looking to, who's been praying this for all who put their faith in him? Why would you not believe in him? Why would you not trust the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen and coming? The Jesus who died on the cross to open the way into everlasting life. Why would you not want to be part of this? Trust him today. Then here's a fourth way to use this truth. Use this truth to heighten your worship and your devotion to Jesus Christ. Now, you remember there's a great story in the Old Testament about how Moses goes up and receives the commandments of God, and because the immediate presence of God comes near to him, when he comes down the mountain, his face is glowing. It's shining. Almost as if something of the glory of the Lord rubbed off on him as a result of him being in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it's a marvelous passage to study sometime, you will see that Paul uses this story to explain how we grow in the Christian life. Very important to understand this. How do you grow stronger as a Christian? How does your faith increase? Well, that's what 2 Corinthians 3 is all about. And Paul says this. Having told the story of Moses, he says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we who behold or reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. See what he says? We who behold his glory, we who by the Spirit have, even in a mirror, even by faith, some glimpse of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've come to trust him with our life, our death, and our eternity. We put our lives into his hands. We who behold his glory, we're being transformed into his likeness with an ever-increasing glory. In other words, there's a process that's going on here. You see what he's saying? In simple terms, beholding is transforming. The more you see of the glory of Christ by faith, the more you are changed increasingly into his likeness. In other words, you never come out of the presence of God in exactly the same way as you went in. That is the power of prayer. That is the value of worship. You never leave the presence of Christ exactly the same as when you came into the presence of Christ. And the more you see of the Lord's glory, the more you will become like him. Now think of what that means. If you see a little of Christ's glory, you'll be a little like him. If you see more of Christ's glory, as we worship and as we open our minds and hearts to the word, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become more like him. If you see a lot of Christ's glory, you will become a lot like him. And when you see the fullness of Christ's glory, you will become fully like him, which is exactly what John says in a verse that many of us know well. When he appears, we will be like him. Why? Why? When he appears, we will be like him, John says, for we shall see him as he is. Because to behold the fullness of his glory is to enter at that point into the fullness of a reflection of his likeness. Folks, this is how Christian growth happens. This is why worship and prayer and our time in the Word is strategic to all Christian growth and to your progress in the Christian life. Beholding is transforming. And the more that you see of the glory of Christ, the more you will become like him until you see him as he is. And on that day, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Not through a mirror, not by faith. We shall see him as he is.
What a thing to think about. That one day we will see Jesus as he is. Man, if you know Christ, I know that's something that you're looking forward to, as am I. Our message today is called Jesus Will Show You His Glory. It's part of a larger series where we're looking at seven promises that God makes to every believer. Our series is called Rock Solid, and if you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Here's the last application in the remaining time. I want to encourage you to use this marvelous truth to strengthen your assurance, that is your confidence, of your own ultimate, final, eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, I talk to a lot of folks. I say, now, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you trusted your life to Christ? Yes. You think you'll be in heaven? I hope so. I hope so doesn't exactly inspire a life of joyful anticipation, does it? It's actually a life of a great deal of fear. So how are you going to come to settle in your own mind that the Christ you trust is able to bring you to glory and find rest in relation to that? It's a huge question. And the answer is right here today. The Bible says, you know this verse, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. That one gets read all the time at weddings. Well, your assurance of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ, think of it this way, it is a cord of three strands that is so strong that no power on earth or in heaven or in hell itself will ever be able to break it. What are the three strands? They're right here. Strand one, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Son of God says, Father, I want those you have given to me to be with me where I am and that they will see my glory. Feel the weight of this. The Son of God is going to the cross. And he says to the Father, this is what I want. This is it. Spurgeon says this. It's a marvelous picture. He says, as Christ says, I will this, it is as if Christ is writing his last will and testament. And he says this, by dying, he makes the will valid. You know, a will isn't valid until a guy dies. By dying, he makes the will valid. By rising again, he becomes his own executor. I love that. The executor is the one who puts the will into effect. So he dies to make it valid. He rises and lives to put it into effect. The will of Jesus Christ is unbreakable. That's what's being said here. That is the first assurance that you have of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ wants you there as someone who has put your trust in him. Here's the second strand. Not only does he pray that you will be brought there, but he goes and he dies and he rises. And so the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ are the means by which this will is accomplished. And I want you just to notice this marvelous thing. You may have thought of it already. That on the very day that Jesus prayed this prayer about something that he willed, Father, I will, the word there is thelo. I say that for a reason. I will that those who you have given to me will be with me. On that same day, he prayed another prayer using exactly the same word. You remember what that was? In the Garden of Gethsemane, same day. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet, Father, not as I thelo, not as I will, but your will be done. In other words, Christ accomplishes his will for you by submitting his own will to the will of the Father. So here is your assurance of heaven. The Son of God wants you there. The Son of God has gone into death and into resurrection to bring you there. And here's the very last thing, and I want you to see it. It is wonderful, though you may spend the rest of your life trying to stagger at its dimension. The third strand that God has woven together that gives absolute assurance of your ultimate salvation is the love of God the Father for his own beloved Son. And I just want you to notice in this last moment how that comes right at the end of the verse. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because why did the Father give this glory to the Son? How is it that he has been placed in the highest position in all of the universe that every knee should bow to him? Why? Because you loved me before the creation of the world. The Father exalts the Son to the highest place as the God-man Redeemer, because since before the creation, for all eternity, the Father's love has been poured out towards the Son, even as the Son's love is poured out towards the Father. And I just want you to think about this in this last moment. When you read the book of Revelation and you see all the glory and all the joy that is there, the angels, and then this multitude of redeemed people who are washed and forgiven and brought into everlasting life in the presence of the Lamb of God. And then there's a new heaven and there's a new earth, a whole new creation. What's it all for? Why is it there? Why will you be there? What is the point of you being in heaven? There's only one answer. For the glory of the Son of God. The Father loves the Son, and out of his love for the Son, glorifies the Son as the God-man for all eternity. The world was created so that the Son's glory could radiate in it. What's the fall all about? God permitted the catastrophe of sin. Why? Because a redeemed creation can reflect the glory of Christ and will reflect the glory of Christ in a way that an innocent creation never could. That is why angels long to look into our experience of being redeemed from sin and death and hell, because there is a glimpse of Christ's glory that is seen in this redemption that is unparalleled, which is why in heaven the center of worship is not the creation of the new heaven and the new earth, but it is, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, because here in the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, the full glory of the Son of God is revealed in a way that will rebound for all eternity to our and his eternal joy. That is why you will be in heaven. For the glory of the Son who redeemed you, and for the pleasure of the Son who loves you. How strong is your assurance of salvation? You see, if you get that, you'll see how strong it is. It's as strong as the will of Jesus. It's as strong as the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It is as strong as the love of the Father for the Son, that goes back before the creation of the world.
What a way to wrap up today's broadcast, by looking at the strong assurance that we can have of salvation. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and a message called Jesus Will Show You His Glory. It's one of seven promises that we're taking a look at in our series called Rock Solid. If you want to get a copy of this series on CD, ask about it when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or come to our website, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you two copies of Pastor Colin's newly illustrated book called Christmas Stories. One for you, one to give away. And Colin, what is Christmas Stories and who's the book for?
Well, it's for the whole family. Christmas Stories, it really tells the story of the birth of Christ from the perspective of various people who were involved in the event at the time. Over the years, I told the Christmas story through the eyes of Mary and Joseph and Simeon and even King Herod. And these stories have been brought together by our partners at 10 of Those Publishing, and they have been beautifully illustrated. So we have now a Christmas story book that's intended to be read aloud, and it's for all the family. So for you and for your loved ones, here's a way to have something fresh in regards to Christmas. Tell the Christmas story, read it out loud with those who you love. Christmas Stories, I'm delighted to be able to commend it this month.
Well, we want to send you not just one, but two copies of this book as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. One for you and your family, one to give away. You can find out more when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or call and give your gift of support at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. And again, the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.